This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ نَحْمَدُهُ وَنَسْتَعِينُهُ وَنَسْتَغْفِرُهُ وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شُرُورِ أَنْفُسِنَا وَمِنْ سَيِّئَاتِ أَعْمَالِنَا مَنْ يَهْدِهِ اللَّهُ فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ وَمَنْ يُضْلِلْهُ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، Ibn Hubayrah was one of the great prominent scholars of his time in the 6th Hijri century. And so this scholar reached the level of scholarship that he did after a very difficult life. And so his life started off very difficult. As a young man, he came to Baghdad to study under its scholars. And so in the morning, he would go out and work to make a living, to support himself. In the afternoon, he would go and sit with the scholars. He says that he divided his earnings into three. One for his father, one to pay his rent, and the third for his personal spending. And so he had a small place that he had rented. And things were becoming difficult for him. He was barely making ends meet. And so 3 months later, he wasn't able to pay his rent. And so the landlord, he told him that I'm going to give you 3 days. I'm going to give you 3 days to pay the rent. Otherwise, I'm going to have to report you. And you're going to have to go to prison. And so Ibn Hubayrah, he says that he went in search of work. He couldn't find anything. The second day, he went to the court, the Diwan, asking if they had any work for him. He was rejected. He says, on the third day, he left home until he arrived on the outskirts of Baghdad. There he found an abandoned house. And he said to himself, let me rest here for some time. And so he went and he opened the door. And he went inside this house to find an old man lying down. He says, the old man said to me, my son, come close to me. He said, none other than Allah has sent you to me at this time. He said, I'm about to die, and I want some grapes to eat. And so Ibn Hubayrah, he says, I said to him, sure, why not? He says he went to the marketplace and he bought some grapes. He had no money, so he told the seller, here are my clothes. Keep them as ransom and I'll pay you later. And then he took the grapes and he ran. He said, I have to make it before this old man, he passes away. And so when he came, he gave the old man the grapes to eat. And then the old man, he said to him, my son, you see this corner of this room, I want you to dig. And so he went and he started digging until he found a huge bag that was filled with money and gold. He brought it to the old man. And the old man, he pushed it to me. He pushed it to me and he said, me and my brother, we used to be prominent businessmen of Baghdad. We used to travel to Sindh and to India for business, for trade, and we would trade silver and silk and wool. He says, one day, me and my brother were coming back, and we stopped at a place that was known for thieves and highway robbers. And so I said to my brother, this area is known to be hostile for its thieves, for its robbers. So why don't you give me your money? Let me put it together and let me hide it somewhere until it's morning, and then we can continue our journey. He says, I started to doze off to go to sleep. And before I knew it, the thieves came, the highway robbers entered, and they killed who they killed. And they robbed what they robbed. Until I myself was beaten until I went unconscious. And I didn't wake up until the next morning from the heat of the sun. He says, when I woke up, I searched for my brother among the dead, among the alive, but I couldn't find him. So I took the money. I took the money that belonged to myself and to him. I took it with me and entered Baghdad. He says, and this is where I use this money of mine to build this house. He says, as for this money that remains behind, I dug it here and I saved it here because it belonged to my brother. But now that I'm about to pass away, no one's going to benefit from it. So you can have it. It's all yours. Ibn Hubayrah, he says that the man, he said his shahada and he breathed his last and he passed away. Soon after that, I went in search of someone who could help me to bury him. And so after we buried him, I took the money and I left. And I went to the Euphrates River and I said, let me cross this river and go to the other side and see what I could do with my life, with this money. And so he said, when he reached the shore of the river, he found many boats. But there was one boat that had an old man in it who looked very poor. And so he decided to get into this boat with him. He sat in the boat with him, and he was heartbroken at what he was seeing. And so he said, why don't I give some of this money to him? And so when he gave some of the money to him, the old man, he started to cry. He started crying, and he said, I only cry because the state that you see me in is not how I always used to be, but rather I used to be a prominent businessman, and I used to travel with my brother to India trading silk and wool. And so one day when we were coming back, my brother, he cheated me, and he made a deal with some thieves to kill me and to take my money. And so here I am, having lost everything, a poor man wandering in the streets of Baghdad. And so Ibn Hubayrah, he says, I realized at that point who this man was. And I realized that this money that was with me actually belonged to him. And whoever's money I have has to go back to its owner. But then Shaitan came to me and whispered to me and said, look, you were given this money rightfully. Whoever had it gave it to you. So why don't you split it with this man? Give him some of it. Give him half of it, and you take the rest. And so Ibn Hubayrah, he said, no, I'm not going to listen to Shaitan. He sought refuge in Shaitan, saying, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. And then he told the man the story of him meeting his brother and how it was only an hour ago that he buried him. The man, he started crying. He sought forgiveness from Allah for having harbored evil suspicions and assumptions about his brother. And then he took the money and he left. But it didn't end there. The story of Ibn Hubayrah does not end here. Ibn Hubayrah says, I returned back to Baghdad in the same state that I had left, with nothing. He says, as I was walking in the streets of Baghdad, some army officers from the Diwan, from the court, approached me. They started calling me. They said, we were looking for you. Ibn Hubayrah, he says, I thought to myself, that's it. They're looking for me to imprison me because I have not paid my rent. He says, they approached him and they said, we were looking for you. Why? Because one of our skilled scribes in our court, in our diwan, just passed away yesterday. And we were looking for someone to replace him, to hire. And we found that you were looking for work. And there was no one better, more skilled and experienced for this job than you. And so Ibn Hubayrah says, I took that job. And I ended up having a decent salary. I paid my rent. And I started to move up in my career until I became a minister. And that's why Ibn Hubayrah, this scholar, became known later on as Al-Wazir Ibn Hubayrah. He became a minister. And so this was the story of Ibn Hubayrah. He passed away in the year 560 of the Hijrah. Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says, so many people came out for his janazah, the likes that no one else had ever come for their janazah in his time, in his era. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Azim, wa nafa'ani wa iyyakum bima fihi min al-ayati wa al-dhikr al-hakim. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfiru Allah li wa lakum ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب وخطيئة فاستغفروه إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله على إحسانه، والشكر له على توفيقه وامتنانه، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له تعظيما لشأنه، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله الداعي إلى رضوانه صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وإخوانه وخلانه ومن سار على نهجه واقتفى أثره إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فاتقوا الله عباد الله حق التقوى، وراقبوه في السر والنجوى، فمن يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب، ومن يتوكل على الله فهو حسبه. My dear brothers and sisters, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have the taqwa of Allah, for whoever fears Allah and is conscious of Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a way out for him from every difficulty and provides for him from sources that he could never have imagined. My dear brothers and sisters, this story of Ibn Hubayrah was a story filled with many lessons. Many lessons that we need to contemplate over and apply in our own daily lives. And so among the lessons that we learn from this story of this righteous man who became what he became, first and foremost was his ta'zeem, his veneration for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the commandments of Allah and the prohibitions of Allah. He knew that something is haram, and he did not dare to come near it. Many of us today, we hear that something is haram, and we try to brush it away. Why? Because there's no veneration for Allah in our hearts. There's no veneration for who it is who is commanding and forbidding. And so here was a man who held the commandments of Allah, the prohibitions of Allah, in high regard, knowing that although others do not see and others may not know, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows very well the source of this money and who it belongs to. Secondly, what is haram is clear, and what is halal is clear. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innal halal bayyinun wa innal harama bayyin." The halal is clear, the haram is clear. But between the halal and the haram is what we call mushtabihat. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the gray area between the halal and the haram, the doubtful matters that are not clear to us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, most people, they're not aware of this gray area. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us some advice when he said to stay away from the gray area. Don't think it's not haram, therefore I should indulge in it. No, stay away from it. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave an example of it. He said, it's like a green pasture that is next to the garden of a king and his palace. If you take your sheep into that green pasture that is next to the garden of the king, there's a good chance that your sheep are going to wander into the garden of the king, crossing the boundary. And so the gray areas that we think are not a big deal, we don't have any clear fatwa regarding it, so let me indulge in it. It's okay, it's not a big deal. That is the stepping stone that leads to haram. And so how about that which is clearly haram? There are certain things that are clear in our sharia and our deen, that it is clearly haram, and yet we indulge in it. Zina is haram. Murder is haram. Theft is haram. Al-riba is haram. There's no question about these things. Not only are they haram, but they are, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they are from the mubiqat. They are from the worst of sins. These are the major sins. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam counted them among the 7 or the 10 destructive sins that destroy a person in this dunya before the akhirah. So how about those things that we're not clear about? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to stay away from them. Thirdly, what we learn from this story of Ibn Hubayrah is that one needs to fight against the whims and desires of his nafs and submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not try to find justification for indulging in haram. And so many a times we have our eyes set on doing something and we find out that it's haram, but we've already decided, I'm going to do it. And so what we do is we start to look for loopholes. We start to look for justifications. We start to go fatwa shopping to see how can I justify indulging in this thing which is haram. And so what we learn from this story of Ibn Hubayrah is that no, although he had this wealth and his nafs was leaning towards it, and he could have taken it, he could have justified taking this wealth, it was given to him, but he knew that no, I need to fight against the whims and desires of my ego and my nafs and the temptations of shaitan, and I need to give it up, no matter how difficult that may be, no matter how great of a sacrifice that may be. Fourthly, we need to strive hard to look for halal alternatives. Again, many a times we are in a situation where we think that we have no other option except this haram option. And we think that there is no halal alternative. But the reality is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He has made things haram, He has always made halal alternatives to those haram things. And so if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made zina haram, He has given us an alternative, and that is marriage. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made riba haram, and certain transactions, if they have been made haram in our deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made halal alternatives to them. We should not blind ourselves to the halal alternatives and say, I have no other option. I'm in a state of necessity. Therefore, let me go for what is haram. Finally, among the greatest lessons that we learn from this story is the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store for those who give up something for His sake. The reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store for the people of taqwa, for those who give up something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here was Ibn Hubayrah, struggling with poverty, being threatened to be thrown into prison. He comes across this money, and then he gives it up for the sake of Allah. because of his taqwa in his heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised those who act by their taqwa that He will replace for them what they gave up for the sake of Allah. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever fears Allah, Allah makes a way out for him. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. And Allah will provide from him for him from sources that he could not have ever imagined. Sometimes we come across a job offer. It has haram elements in it, and we know that it's haram, or at least it's shady, it's doubtful, and we think, what should I do? The offer is great, the salary is beautiful. If you go for it, then remember that you're going to struggle. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to be with you. Allah is not going to place His barakah in a source of income that comes from haram. But if you give it up for the sake of Allah, then be promised. Know that the promise of Allah is real and true. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you something better. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Ibn Hubayra a steady job after that, providing him a steady income, allowing him to eventually become a wazir, a minister in the state. Likewise, if you're looking to purchase a home, and you think the only way I can do it is by going for the conventional mortgage, which is haram. It's a riba-based contract. Know for a fact that this home is gonna come with all kinds of problems in your life because it will not have the barakah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But give it up and look for halal alternatives. And be rest assured that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make a way for you because you gave it up for His sake. And whoever does so, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever gives up something for the sake of Allah, عَوَّضَهُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely replace that thing that he gave up for the sake of Allah with something far better that he could not have ever imagined. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us God-fearing. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us taqwa of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala and to make our affairs easy for us. هذا وصلوا وسلموا رحمكم الله على نبيكم محمد بن عبد الله كما أمركم بذلك ربكم جل في علاه فقال تعالى قولا كريما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وارض اللهم عن خلفائه الأربعة أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وعن سائر الصحابة أجمعين وعنا معهم برحمتك وكرمك يا أكرم الأكرمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وأذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر أعداءك أعداء الدين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون.